Erevin Daf Samach Gimel. Yesterday we opened up the sixth parak of the Masechta. We started the topic of Eruv Echatzeros, and we learned together a machlokas hatanaim between Ramir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. What is going to be the halachic requirement when I have a chatzer, where I have one Jew and one non-Jew living in that chatzer? According to Rav Meir, there is restriction that's created, and you can only carry from your house into the chatzer only after schirus, only after you rent out the rights of the non-Jew in the chatzer. Ma'ashen ken, Rav Elazar ben Yaakov says it's not necessary, and it only will become necessary when I have two Jewish residences living in the same chatzer together with a non-Jew. Go back to yesterday's Gemara, where we explained this machlokas in more detail. Anyway, that's the machlokas between Rav Meir and Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. Who does the halacha follow like? And that is going to be the beginning of the discussion. Now, at the end of the daf yesterday, we went over a Merayim who all sided with Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but to varying degrees. Rav Yehuda Mar Shmuel says that the halacha is like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which means to say that you can expand that position in public. The shita of Rav Huna is that the minag follows like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, which means that on a case-by-case basis, you can tell people to follow like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. And Rav Yochanan's of the opinion that nagu ha'amka Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, that only post facto are we going to be happy with people following the shita of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, but we wouldn't tell them to do so on a lechatchila basis. With all that stated, it now leads us right into the Gemara, and we're going to pick it up where we left off yesterday. Amalei Abai l'Rav Yosef. So the conversation that take place between Abai and Rav Yosef. Kaimalan, look, we know that Mishnah's Rav Elazar ben Yaakov Kavanaki, that whenever we have a sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov, his position is not stated throughout Shas on many occasions. Nevertheless, though, however, it's very refined. His positions are carefully sifted through, and all of his positions are ones that are generally speaking followed. And I'm Rav Yehuda Mishmuel, Halacha Kerebi Elazar ben Yaakov. And on top of that, we also learned together that Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel fully endorses the opinion of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So basically, it means to say that we have multiple reasons why it is that we should be following the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. One, it is espoused by Rabbi Elazar ben Yaakov, whose position we normally follow. And in this particular regard, in the case of Erevin, we also have a tradition, the name of Rabbi Yehuda Mishmuel, that we should follow like Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So, to the question of who does halacha follow like? So the answer is pretty straightforward, and that is Rav Elazar ben Yaakov. So, under these circumstances, so Mala Aruye B'makom Rabba. So let's say someone comes over to you and says to you, what does the halacha follow like? And it happens to be that he asked you the question while you were in the presence of your Rebbe. Can you answer the question while in the presence of your Rebbe? And this is going to now be the topic of today's daf in its entirety, and that is being Mora Halacha Bifnei Rabba, is one allowed to pass an halacha in front of their Rebbe. Rashi over here says that the issue is an issue of chutzpah. Take a look at Rashi, Ma'ala Arui, Taman B'makom Rabbo, Kevin de Lotali B'svara U'milsa P'shitahu, Sharei Odima Chutzpahu. So on one hand, it could be that this is such an obvious issue where you can give away the answer because we know what the answer is. On the other hand, chutzpah, meaning that your Rebbe's right there and you're going to be answering a question in the presence of your Rebbe. And that's insolence. It's just simply disrespectful. So this is the way Rashi presents the question in terms of even when something is so obvious, still one cannot present the answer in front of his Rebbe because it would be a function of chutzpah. Okay. Rashi is consistent throughout this entire sugya that the issue is the issue of chutzpah. It could be that there are other issues as well, but just to present the Gemara Kipshuto like Rashi, the issue over here is an issue of chutzpah. If you take a look at Tosus over here, second Tosus on the Amud, Ma'u La'ruy B'makom Rabbe, Omer Ri, Kohani Oraz Kigon, Shabam Maslafan of Umore Lasos Kain. So as far as the issue is concerned, says the Ri, that's talking about a situation where someone comes over to you for a Psak Halacha, and you're telling him this is the Psak Halacha. However, says the Ri, that if somebody's just asking you what your opinion is, and you're going to go over what you think, and it's just a question now of just going over your thought process, so that, says the Ri, is not going to be a violation of this Isser of being mora halacha b'fnei rabo, it has to be all right, it has to be an actual psak. So, this is a question that Abaye poses to Rav Yosef, and the Gemara begins its discussion. So, Amarlei, so the response now that Rav Yosef says to Abaye is, afilo b'yata b'kutcha, b'aminei mei Rav Chista, koshnei de Ravuna, v'lo urei. A question such as so basic as to whether or not one can have an egg together with milk. Kutach is some sort of compound of various ingredients, including milk. And can we eat an egg together with it? Now, an egg is parv. And the answer is yes. But when this question was posed to Rav Chista was a student of Rav Huna. So Rav Yosef says, I posed this question to Rav Chista for many years while Rav Huna was alive. And Rav Chista would never pass him this question in front of Rav Huna. And again, he felt that this was an issue of mar halacha b'fnei rabo, even though the answer is obvious. We all know what the answer is going to be. Now, the way I presented the Gemara's question over here as to whether or not one is allowed to eat an egg together with milk, that's the way Rashi presents the Gemara's question over here. That is a little bit challenging in that this is not even a halachic question, meaning the idea that an egg is parv is something which is basic and fundamental, and everybody knows that. And if somebody asks you, are you allowed to eat an egg together with milk, you never really thought of it as a halachic question that demands a psak halacha, meaning this is just simply basic information. Anyway, but that's the way Rashi presents it. Tosos has difficulties and challenges with the way Rashi is presenting it, but anyway, that's certainly the way Rashi presents it. So I'm going to present it like Rashi. And the similar question now was presented. Amalei Rabbi Yaakov bar Abba Abaye. So the following question was asked of Abaye. Kigon Migilas Tanis Diksiva Mancha. Let's say somebody asked you a question that had to do with Migilas Tanis. Migilas Tanis was a list of days in which one is not allowed to eulogize and one is not allowed to fast. They are quasi they are quasi yantifs, and there's a whole listing in Migilas Tanis. And somebody asked you a question which you could just simply look up in Megillas Tanis. Maula Uri Abasri de Rabbi. Now you happen to be within the vicinity of your Rebbe, so would you be able to answer that question? Amalei, so Abai's answer is Hachem Rav Yosef's. Now he's quoting what Rav Yosef, we know this already because we just learned the previous Gemara, but now Abaye learned it from Rav Yosef, so Abaye's passing this information on. Which is afilo biyata b'kutcha by me name Rav Chista koshnei de Rav Huna v'lo ore. Look, my Rebbe Rav Yosef asked Rav Chista the question of egg and milk, and while he asked the question to Rav Chista while Rav Huna was alive, so Rav Chista wouldn't answer the question out of respect for Rav Huna. Rav Chista ori b'kafri b'shnei de Rav Huna. Now, the Gemara is going to teach us that under certain circumstances it would be okay to paskin the halacha, as long as you're not in the presence of your Rebbe, which is exactly what the Gemara is indicating right now. That when Rav Chista was in the town of Kafre. Now, where is Kafre exactly? So, exactly, I don't know. However, I do know, says because Rashi tells us, if you look at the bottom Rashi on the Amud, it's a Shem Makom, it's the name of a place. Now, it happens to be that both Kafre and Pumbedisa are both in Bavel. So they're in the same general province, but they're two different cities. And Rashi says that because they were two different cities, so therefore Rav Huna did paskin the halacha in the town of Kafri, even though Rav Huna was still alive, but they weren't in the same cities, and therefore it would be okay. Similarly, as we now are on the top of some Gimel Amud Aleph, Rav Hamnuna Oribe Charta de Argas B'shtein de Rav Chista. Rav Hamnuna, who was a student of Rav Chista, there are a couple of Rav Hamanunas, Tosos over here on the top of the Amud points out, but obviously the one we're discussing right now is a student of Rav Chista. So Rav Hamnuna, when he was in a different town, in the town of Charta de Argas, Rashi, by the way, has a Masorah that the builder of this town, his name was Argas, and Rashi also points out that he was some sort of sorcerer magician. Anyway, but he was not in the same town as Rav Chista, and when he was not in the same town as Rav Chista, so therefore he would pass in the halacha because he was not bifanav, he was not directly in front of him. The Gemara now is going to continue on this discussion of making sure that you should have the proper respect of your Rebbe and not passing the halacha in front of your Rebbe. And we're going to be doing this in the context of checking out a shechita knife. The Gemara in Chulin tells us that before you shecht, you have to do an examination of the knife. Make sure that the knife has no nick or serration within it. If you shecht an animal with a knife that has a nick in it, So that is going to be a psul shchita. Shchita is no good. The animal is, in fact, going to be a nevela. So how do you do a bedika on a knife? You take your fingernail, you run it across the blade of the knife, and if it gets caught at any point in time, so the knife is no good. If your fingernail runs smoothly across the knife, so then it would be fine. On top of that, the Gemara in Chulin tells us that if you lived in a community where there was a Mar D'Asra, where there was a Rav in the community, so out of respect and deference to the Rav, so what you would do is you would bring your knife over to the Rav, where he would do the bedika on the knife. Not that you weren't capable of doing so. In fact, the Shochet probably was more than capable of doing so. But nevertheless, out of respect, out of deference to the rabbi of the community, so you gave the knife to the rabbi of the community in order for him to do the bedika. With all that in mind, let's continue in the Gemara. We're on Samach Gimel Amud Aleph. We're on the top of the Amud. Ravina Sar Sakina B'Bavel. Ravina inspected the knife in Bavel in order to make sure that the knife did not have any nick, any serration in it. Now, at the time when Ravina was doing that, his Rebbe was alive. His Rebbe was Ravashi. And Amalei Ravashi, my time Avin Marhachi, and Ravashi called Ravina out, and he said, how did you do that? In other words, you can't be checking the knife yourself. You should be giving it to me. So Amalei V'harav Amnuna, Orei B'charta D'Argus B'shein D'Rav Chista. So Ravina's defending himself. And Ravina says, look, we just learned moments earlier that Rav Nuna Paskin in the town of Charta d'Argas, even though Rav Chista was alive, but it was two different towns, and he felt it was okay. So Amar Leh, so when Ravashi hears the defense of Ravina, so Ravashi says, you got the story wrong. Lav ore itmar. No, you got the story totally wrong. And that is that Rav Hamnuna didn't make a decision, didn't paskin the halacha, even though he was in a different town. So Amar Leh, so Ravina says, boy, am I confused. Itmar ori vitmar la ori. So I now have heard that he did paskin, I heard that he didn't paskin, so which one is right? So, and the Gemara now goes on to explain that basically they're both right, it's just a question of when we're talking about. Bishnei de Rav Huna, Rabbi Huda la ori. So when Rav Huna was alive, so Rav Hamanuna never paskened, not even in a different town. Va'ori b'shnei de Rav Chista. However, when Rav Huna died, it was just Rav Chista who was alive, and despite the fact that Rav Chista was a Rebbe to Rav Hamanuna, there Rav Hamanuna did in fact pasken when he was in a different town. Now, obviously, that requires an explanation. Why should that be? If Rav Chista was a Rebbe to Rav Hamanuna, so as much as Rav Hamnuna didn't pass on the halacha when Rav Huna was alive, so he shouldn't have passed on the halacha when Rav Chista was alive. So the Gemara goes on to explain. Because the relationship between Rav Hamnuna and Rav Chista was that of a Tamid Chaver. Meaning it wasn't a simple Rebbe Tamid relationship, but it was that of a Tamid Chaver. What is a Tamid Chaver? Rashi over here writes Tamid Chaver. I'm reading the Rashi. Chacham Kamoso, so basically they're on par with one another in terms of their Torah scholarship. It just happens to be that I learned a thing or two from that from somebody who I'm basically on par with. So Talmud Chaver basically means that I'm a student of his, but at the same time, however, we're also colleagues. So because now we are nearly on par with one another, my level of respect that I have towards him does not have to be the same as if it were a classic Rebbe Talmud relationship. So Ve'ananami Talmud Chaver Demar Ana. So Ravina now is turning to Ravashi, because Ravina is basically saying to Ravashi, so basically we have that same kind of relationship. Just like Rav Hamnuna had the Talmud Chaver relationship with Rav Chista, so Ravina says to Ravashi, you and I have basically the same kind of relationship, and therefore I went ahead and did a bedika on the knife, and I didn't give it over to you. Amar Rava, the Gemara says that despite the fact that there was an accepted minhag to give the knife over to the Rav in order for the Rav to check it, Amar Rava, Subra Mirabban Nechazal Nafshei, a Talmud Chacham who is going to be shechting for himself, so he does not have the requirement to go ahead and show the knife to the Rav for his own personal needs. There is no need to defer. Ravina Ekla LeMechuzah, the Gemara tells a story where Ravina went to the town of Mechuzah, Isa. And he stayed by an inn, and the host of the inn went ahead and showed the knife over to Ravina. So Amalei Zilan to the Rava. And Ravina says, no, don't show it to me, show it to Rava. So Amalei Lo Sevelamar Hadamar Rava, Tzurbe Merabana Chazon Avshei. So apparently the host of the inn, the innkeeper, so he was a bit of a tamachacham, and he says to Ravina, wait 1 second, you're shechting, we're going to be shechting for you. And you know what Rava says, that if you're shechting for you, you don't have to show it to a Rav. So Amalei Anam is Ben Zvini. So Ravina clarifies, Ravina says, what do you mean you're shechting it for me? You're not shechting it for me. He says to the innkeeper, you're shechting it for you. Meaning, after you shecht it, what am I going to do? I'm going to buy the meat. Okay, fine. So I'm just going to be a customer. This is not a personal shechita that I'm shechting for me. You're shechting it and I'm buying it from you. And so therefore, this is a classic case of shechita. And therefore, you need to show it to the Rav. You need to show it to Rava. Okay. The Gemara is going to continue its discussion regarding Bedika Sakin, the checking of the knife, and the Minug to give it over to the Rav. Rabbi Elazar Magrunya, V'Rav Acha Bar Tachlifa, Ikla Lebei Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika. So these Amoraim go to the house of Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika, Ba'asrei, the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Now the community belonged to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. I know that's a lot of Rav Achas over here, but just to make sure that we get it all straight, the Mar Da'asra of the community was Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. That's right now the most important piece of information for the purpose of this story. So by Rav Acha Bered Rav Ika Lameva Lahu Iglatilsa, and now they wanted to shecht an animal, Iglatilsa. Okay, Rashi over here offers a couple of pshatim exactly what Iglatilsa is, but the one that he favors is that it's a calf that's not fully developed. Basically, we're talking about veal. And so he was going to shecht the animal, and Amaluhu Rav Acha Bar Techlifa Lalechush Leila Saba. Now Rav Acha Bar Techlifa says, the Mar Da'asra, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. So he's a Mar Da'asra of the community, and we should show him the knife. So Amalei Rabbi Elazar Magrunya, Hachi Amar Rav Tzorbin Rabban Nechazan Avshei. So Rav Elazar Magrunya was one of the Amoraim that were there, and he reminded everybody, look, we're shechting the animal for ourselves. And we have a special heter, dispensation given by Rava. And when we're shechting the animal for ourselves, we don't need to give it to a Tamach Chacham. We don't need to show it to a Tamach Chacham. So therefore, he felt that it was unnecessary. Chazay. So basically, they did the inspection of the knife themselves. And the Anish Rav Elazar Me'agrunya. Now, Rav Elazar was punished because he didn't show it to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. Now, the Gemara says, now wait 1 second. He was right. In other words, Rav Elazar Me'agrunya was right that you didn't have to show it to the Mar Da'asra. And so why is he getting punished? And that's exactly what the Gemara is bothered by. If you're shechting the animal for yourself, so you don't have to defer and you don't have to give it to the Tamach Chacham, show it to the Tamach Chacham. So Shani Hasam de Ischil Bechvod. The Gemara has two answers over here. Answer number one of the Gemara is that, well, there was at least the beginnings of Kavod, meaning they were about to show the knife to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. And at that point in time, once he started the process, so then stopping in the middle would be in the front, it would be disrespectful. So enachinami, if they would have remembered from the beginning that they didn't have to show it to him, that would have been fine. But now that they are in the process of showing it to him, to stop in the middle is disrespectful. That's one answer. And Shani and the Ibai Sema, the Gemara gives a second answer. And Shani Rav Acha Bar Yaakov de Muflag. Or maybe the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov was such a tremendous Tamach Chacham, that even under these circumstances, you should be showing the knife to Rav Acha Bar Yaakov. He was that big a Tamach Chacham. Amarava. Now, despite the fact that we have just spent now a good amount of time in the daf going over this idea that you should not be more halacha b'fnei rabo, nevertheless, under certain circumstances, you are allowed to. In fact, not only are you allowed to, you should, and that is specifically to be parish from Isser. If somebody is about to violate an Isser, and it happens to be that your Rebbe's right there, and he's not seeing it as clearly as you are, so then you have the obligation to say something and stop a person from violating the Isser. And the Gemara goes on to explore this idea. Even if you're directly in front of your Rebbe, you're allowed to do that. And the Gemara tells the following story, Ravina Havayasav coming to Ravashi. Ravina was in front of Ravashi, and remember the relationship. Ravina was a student of Ravashi, and Chazya lo gavra, and he saw a person deka aser le lechamre bitzinta bishabta, and he saw somebody who was tying a donkey to a tree, and you know that being mashamish be ilan is an issur de rabbanan. So Rama Bikala, so Ravina was shouting at the guy, don't do that, v'lo'ashkach bay. And he wasn't listening to him. Amrle lehavi hai gavra b'shamta. And Ravina put the guy in cherem for not listening to him. He was violating the Isidur Rabbanan. And he was being warned not to do that. And he still did it. And so Ravina put him in cherem. Amrle. Now afterwards, Ravina says to Ravashi, ki hai gavna mi mischaze b'kaf karusa. Was that disrespectful? Meaning, I pass on the halacha in front of you, and I also put a person in cherem in front of you, and was all that disrespectful? And Ravashi's answer is absolutely not. It was not disrespectful. The pasuk says, "Ein chachma vein tvuna vein etzel neged Hashem." That when it comes to chil Hashem, let's just read the Gemara. Kol makom sheish bo chil Hashem, ein chokin kavod l'rav. Anytime that there's a possibility of chil Hashem, someone's going to be violating this in the Torah. So then that's not the place to start giving honor to your Rebbe, meaning if you could stop somebody from violating an Isser, so that's what you should do, and not worry about the respect to your Rebbe under those circumstances. Okay? Gemara and Brachos quotes this pasuk extensively as it relates to the topic of Kavod HaBrios, but anyway, but certainly the idea is that don't worry about Kavod HaRav if somebody's about to do an Isser, and you don't have to defer at that point in time. You could stop the person, you're supposed to stop the person from violating an Isser. Amarava. Bifanav also v'chayiv misa. If you're passing the halacha in front of your Rebbe, directly in front of your Rebbe, so then, under those circumstances, not only what you did was wrong, but the punishment is very severe. Misa b'yishamayim. Shlo bifanav also v'ein chayiv misa. However, if you are not directly in his presence, but nevertheless, you're somewhere within the vicinity, so what you did is wrong, but the punishment is not going to be as severe, you won't be chayiv misa b'yishamayim. The Gemara says, now is that true? The Gemara says, what about the following brisa? And that is Rabbi Eliezer Omer, lo mesa b'nei Aaron, ad shahar halacha b'fnei Moshe Rabban. As far as the misa of b'nei Aaron were concerned, so that's because they passed in the halacha in front of the Rebbe. So my darosh, what exactly was the drasha of the b'nei Aaron? So v'nasnu b'nei Aaron hakohen ish al hamizbeach. So they put a fire on the mizbeach. Amru, and this is their thought process. Alpha Bishayisha Redness Mina Shemayim. Now we know that there's a fire that comes down from Shemayim, but nevertheless, mitzvah lavi minajo. But still, we also have to bring our own fire as well. Okay, interesting discussion to be had over here in the Gemara in terms of whether or not the drasha was right or whether the drasha was wrong. Okay, and it happens to be an extraordinarily important discussion, but for our purposes right now, they were saying over this halacha in front of Moshe Rabbeinu. And as a result of that, that unfortunately led to the demise and the death of the Bnei Aaron, Nadav and Avihu. And the Brisa goes on. V'tamid echad hayol Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer himself had a student, shahar halacha b'fanav, paskin the halacha, right in front of Rabbi Eliezer. So am Rabbi Eliezer, li'ima shalom ishto. Now Rabbi Eliezer said the following to his wife, and that is tamu anim yosi zeshnaso. I don't think the student is going to be living for the remainder of this year. V'lo hosi shnaso. And as per the words of Rabbi Eliezer, the student did not. So amr lo naviata. Now the Rabbi Lazar's wife said to him, how did you know that? Are you some sort of Navi? Amar la, lo Navi anochi, velo ben Navi anochi. No, not a Navi, not the son of a Navi. Elakach mekublani, I have a Misora. And that's called Amar Allah b'fnei Rabbi Chayiv Misa. Anyone who passes Allah in front of the Rabbi is going to be Chayiv Misa. And so this student passed in the Allah in front of me. And that's why he was Chayiv Misa. Now, at this point in time, so far, we don't really see how this poses a difficulty to Rava. Rava made the statement that if you're mor halacha b'fnei Rabo, you're chayiv misa, and shelo b'fnei Rabo, as egregious as it is, you're not going to be chayiv misa. But the Gemara now quoted this brisa, and we don't really see what the problem is. V'amar Rava b'bachan amar Rav Yochanan, oso tamid Yehuda ben Gur Yashmo. So first of all, Rav Yochanan gives us a name. The Gemara in a moment is going to explain why that's so important. In fact, one could wonder, hearing the name of that person is nothing more than just simply Lashon Hara. So there's a reason why we're hearing the name. We're going to get to that in just a moment. And Vayarachuk Mimena Shalosh Parsos. And on top of that, he wasn't directly in front of his Rebbe Eliezer. He was three parses away. Okay, now we have an issue. Because this tradition of Rav Yochanan, A, what the student's name was, and B, that he was not directly in front of Rabbi Eliezer. So now we have a problem because this student died, and according to Rava, you only die when you are directly in front of your Rebbe and you're passing directly in front of your Rebbe. So the Gemara's clarification is b'fan of haya. And the Gemara says no. Let's put Rav Yochanan aside for just a moment. The psak was directly done in front of Rabbi Eliezer. And by the way, when you go back and reread the Braisa, it's pretty clear that that's the only way to understand the Braisa. Because remember, the Braisa followed up 2 points one after another. One was the death of Nadav and Avihu, who paskin in front of Moshe. And then two was the student of Rabbi Eliezer, who paskin in front of Rabbi Eliezer. So clearly in the context of the Braisa, the student was paskin directly in front of Rabbi Eliezer. And now what about Rav Yochanan's statement? So the Gemara says that he was three parses away. So the Gemara says that wasn't talking about when he offered the psak. That was a general point of where he generally lived. The Gemara goes on to explain, look, Rav Yochanan told us what his name was and what his father's name was, and why is it important information? So the reason why is because we don't want to say is that this is some sort of parable and the story never occurred, and it was just simply it was a drasha, it was a sermon, it was just there to give us an idea, but it wasn't actual Maaseh Shehaya. So Rav Yochanan says, what do you see with these details? Maaseh Shehaya. Detail number one, what his name was. Detail number two, where did he live in general? Okay, but in terms of the actual psak halacha that he gave it in front of Rabbi Eliezer, and as a result of that, he died. And the details are just simply to tell us that this was an actual Maaseh Shehaya. The Gemara now is going to talk about other consequences that occur when a person passes the halacha in front of the Rebbe. So, number one, so he deserves his chayv to be bitten by a snake. Shenemar, the pasuk says, Vayan Elihu ben Barka El Abuzi Vayomar. And Tzair Ani Liyamim Akin Zachalti. So, he did not want to offer his opinion. So, the word Zachalti is connected to a pasuk in Parshat Ha'azina we just read a couple weeks ago. Uksiv im chamaz ochle afar. The zochle afar is something, someone who is, not somebody, but something that is crawling around on the ground, otherwise known as a snake. So you see the word zochle is a reference to a snake, so someone who's passing the lach in front of his Rebbe is chayev to be bitten by a snake. Ziiri ama Rebbe Chanina nikrachote. The Gemara talks about other consequences of passing the lach in front of your Rebbe. And that is your described as a chote shenemar. The pasuk says, "Bili bitza fanti im rasecha laman lo echata lach." So in my heart, I've hidden, I've tucked it away so that I do not sin. And that means to say, I basically kept my mouth shut, so I won't be called a chote. Rav Hamnun and Rami, Rav Hamnun notes that there's a stira between pesukim. Ksiv bili bitza fanti im rasecha. Basically, I bit my lip. This is David HaMelech talking. And uksiv b'sarti tzedek b'kal rav. And then another pasuk says that I shared the psak with people, with plenty of people. So which one is it? And the Gemara's answer is very simple. Lo kasha kam bizman she'ira hayi'iri kayam kan bizman she'in ira hayi'iri kayam. Depends whether his Rebbe was alive or not. Is one of his Rebbeim was ira hayi'iri. In a moment we're going to learn together that he was a Kohen. So when he was alive, so then David HaMelech was not saying any psak. Because that would be a violation of Morah Halacha Bifnei Rabbo. And that's when he would keep his mouth shut. But then after the death of Irai, so then no longer did David HaMelech have this Rebbe. And so therefore, that's when he started paskening Halacha. I'm a Rebbe Abba Bar Zavda, Kol Anosim Masnos Avda Kohen Echad. As long as we talked about the relationship between David and Irai, so the Gemara is going to make an additional point, and that is that if you're giving your Truma to a Kohen, don't give it to one Kohen. Anyone who gives all the truma to one kohen, mevi ra'av la'olam, brings a famine. Shenemar ira yiri ayakon la'david. Ira was a kohen to David, and the Gemara asked the obvious question. La'david who David kohen l'kule ama lo. He was only a kohen to David and Melch. He wasn't a kohen to everybody else. You're a kohen. That's it, period. So, elash ayah mishagar lo masnosav. It means that David and Ira had a very specific relationship, had a very private relationship in which David HaMelech would give all of his truma to Ira HaYiri, and the Gemara frowns on that activity. In fact, if you look at the Hemshech HaPesukim in the Navi, Uksib Basrei Vahir Rabbi Mei David, and there was a famine during the days of David. So that means to say that the Gemara's understanding is that the consequence of the famine comes as a result of the fact that David HaMelech only gave truma to Ira. Rabbi Lazar Omer, we're going back now to the topic of being Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabbo, and the consequences of what happens when a person's Mar Halach Bifnei Rabbo. So Maridin Osomigdulasov, the person was on a certain level of greatness, so he's going to be deposed. Shenemar Vayomer Elazar, HaKohen El Anshei HaTzava. So Elazar passing the halacha. And this is after the Mechama of Midyan, and he was teaching the halachas regarding Hadakasha Kalim, Tfilas Kalim. And now Avagav Damarlu. Now Elazar told everybody, "La'achi abba tziva v'osilo tziva." Look, where is this information coming from? It's not coming from me. It's coming from my uncle. Meaning, this is Moshe Rabbeinu. This is Torah's Moshe, and he's telling everybody it's Torah's Moshe. But afilo hachi yanis, but still he was punished because he was more halacha b'fnei Rabbo. Dechsev v'lifnei Elazar Kohen Yamod v'lo Ashkechan Dirtzrich le'Yoshua. And the punishment is that. For all the years that Elazar was around during the tkufa of Yoshua, and even though he had the Urim V'Tumim and he was always in a position where Yoshua can ask the Urim V'Tumim, but Yoshua never asked Elazar. Elazar was never needed, and it's because it was a function of the fact that it was Mora Halacha B'fnei Rabbo. Okay, some issues which I'll just quickly raise, but I'm not going to discuss it with any depth. One is that he was telling them how to kasher kalim, presumably kasher and kalim, is being Porish Me Isser, to separate people from doing Yisurim. And if that's true, so it is true. In other words, when you're Kashrin Kalim, so it's because you don't want to eat Treif. So that's Porish Me Isser. And we just learned earlier that if you're Porish Me Isser, that you can do in front of your Rebbe. So why is Elazar being punished for being Porish Me Isser? Okay, that's one question that definitely requires some thought. And an additional point is that Rashi and Chumash brings down that why did Elazar teach the soldiers about kashering? So Rashi brings down the Chumash because Moshe got angry, and because Moshe got angry, so he forgot the halacha, and so therefore Elazar was the one who remembered the halacha. So from Rashi and Chumash, the narrative that you get is that Elazar was needed to stay over the halacha because at that point in time, Moshe temporarily did not remember that particular halacha. Okay. So certainly a couple points to think about. We're going to continue in the Gemara. Amar Rabbi Levi called the most emila kamei rabbi. Anyone who passes halacha in front of the Rebbe, azel shol below vlad, is going to be buried without having given birth to a child. Shenemar vayan Yoshua ben Nun mishari Moshe mi bichurav vayomer adoni Moshe kolaim in Parshas Baloscha when Eldad and Medad were out in and prophesizing. Amongst the people, this is when Moshe gave his nevuah over to the Shivim Zakenim, and of the Shivim Zakenim, Eldad and Umedad received the nevuah, and they publicly broadcast it. And Rashi over there gives a lengthy description in terms of what they were telling people with this nevuah. Anyway, Yoshua was very upset, and Yoshua says to Moshe, "Right, we gotta lock him up, okay?" And this is something that Yoshua should not have done. He shouldn't have paskin in front of Moshe. Although, again, if I could just parenthetically point out over here, if you look at Rashi over there in Chumash, certainly the impression that you get is that Yoshua was doing that out of defense of honor of the honor of Moshe. And he wasn't doing it to be insolent. Okay, but anyway, but still, he was paskin in front of Moshe. And Uksiv, and as we turn now to the Amud Beis, the Gemara quotes the Pesukim in Divrei HaYamin. And that is Nun Beno Yoshua Beno. And we're going over the Yichus of Yoshua, and it stops with Yoshua, meaning after Yoshua, there's no more sons. And so this basically is the Mida Keneged Mida in terms of why Yoshua is being punished, because he was Mor Halacha B'fnei Rabba. The Gemara is going to give a different explanation in terms of what exactly led to the punishment of Yoshua. Upligi the Rabbi Abba Bar Papa. The Gemara is going to give a different viewpoint of why Yoshua was punished. The Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Papa. It's because for one night Yoshua prevented Jewish people from engaging in the mitzvah Puravush. Remember the pasuk says, Yoshua was outside of Yericho, and he saw the Malach. And he had the conversation with the Malach. And for those who learned the beginning of Masechta Megillah, so the Gemara here is the same as it is in the beginning of Masechta Megillah, Uksiv. And the Malach says that I am Sartzva Hashem, I'm a Malach, and I'm coming right now. And Amar Lo, and the Gemara now gives us the dialogue that takes place between the Malach and Yoshua. In the Navi itself, it's not clear exactly what the issues were. So here now, in the in the Gemara, so we have a Masorah in terms of what the issues were. And that is Emesh B'Talton Tamishol Ben Arbayim. So this afternoon, so you didn't bring the Tamishol Ben Arbayim. V'Achshav B'Talton Tamatorah. And on top of that also, because you are still doing the campaign against Yericho, so you're not learning Torah. So Al Iza Mehem Bata. So Yoshua says, okay, so that's two problems. And what exactly prompted you to come? Meaning, which of these two was more egregious? Amalo Atabati. And the Malach says, and this is now the pasuk, the quote from the pasuk. He says, for the one that's right now, the one that you're violating right now, i.e., the lack of Torah, lack of Limud Torah. So Miyad Vayelach Yoshua Balalahu Besocha Emek. And so what Yoshua did is he went into the valley. But the Gemara's understanding is that the word Emek over here is a reference to Halacha. V'Amar of Yochanan. Malamich Halacha Ba'omka Shalacha. He delved into Halacha Ugemir. We have a tradition. Techol Zman She'aron Shechina Shurim Shlobim Kamam. Now, as long as the Aaron and the Shechina are not in the Mishkan. Now, which Mishkan were they supposed to be at that point in time? So historically, now we're at the beginning of the 14-year campaign. We know that when Yeshua came into Eretz Yisrael, so for 14 years, so he conquered and divided the land. 7 years for conquering, 7 years for division. Obviously, this is the very beginning of the conquering. Now, for those 14 years, where was the Aron? So it was in a Mishkan. Where was that Mishkan set up? In Gilgal. So, generally speaking, the Aron was in Gilgal, and when the Aron was in Gilgal, so there was an allowance for husband to be with wives. However, when the Aron is displaced, so then there is an Isser that a husband and wife cannot be together. And so, because Yoshua extended the campaign against Yericho, thereby forcing the Aron to be out of the Mishkan one day more, so that was one more day in which he was Mevatel Peruvu. So, the Chozman, She'aron Shechina Shurin Shlo Bimkomon, Asurin B'Tashmei Shemitah, there is a prohibition of Tashmei Shemitah. So the Gemara says, it's for that reason that, and that's Midah Keneged Midah. Because Yoshua prevented Tashmei Shemitah amongst the Jewish people, so therefore he himself was prevented from having a son. Okay, so that is a second approach in terms of why it is that Yoshua was punished. Amar Shmuel Bar Inaya Mishmei Derav, the Gemara has a tradition, B'Shem Rav, Gadol Tamatorah, Yosef Me'akrovas Tamidim. Just a simple deduction that we can learn from the story that we learned together, and that is, remember, that there were two things that the Malach reprimanded Yoshua for. One, not bring the Tamashol Ben Arbaim, and two, not engage in the study of Torah. And of the two, Yoshua said which one was more egregious, and he says, Amar Le Atabat, he says, now, for Talmud Torah. And so basically, we just learned the hierarchy, which is Talmud Torah is more significant than the offering of the Tamashol Ben Arbaim. Amar Abuna Amar Rav, Kol Hayashin Bikila, Sheish V'Yishto Shurim Ba, Alav HaKasov Omer, Neshe Amin Tigarshun, Mi Beis HaNugeha. As long as we discussed how important it is to make sure that husband and wife, when having an opportunity to be engaged in the mitzvah of Peruvu, they should. So anyone who prevents it, we just learned about Yoshua, who prevented it from one night. And the Gemara quotes now B'Shem Rav, that if you are going to be preventing a husband and wife being intimate with one another, let's say, for example, circumstances are such where you're staying now in the same room with husband and wife, and obviously for a lack of tznius, they're now no longer able to engage in the mitzvah peruvu, so you are now going to be engaged in the same kind of behavior that Yoshua was engaged in, and that you're preventing couples from doing so. V'amar Rav Yosef Efilo B'Ishto Nida, and you're not allowed to be in the same room, sleep in the same room as husband and wife, even when she's a Nida. Rava Amar Yimishto Nida Hi Tavola Bracha. Now Rava thinks that, what do you mean? That's probably a positive thing, because you're going to be preventing husband and wife from engaging in intimacy when they're not allowed to. Velohi, but the Gemara immediately rejects that opinion of Rava. Da'ana Ina Manatre, who was guarding them up until now? Meaning, generally speaking, we have a very high level of comfort and knowledge that a husband and wife are not going to be engaging in marital relations when she's an Ida, and that's something which we entrust husband and wife to make sure that they are careful about, and there does not need to be any kind of external monitoring of that situation. And so, as much as Rava suggested that it may be a good idea, the Gemara immediately rejected that idea out of hand. Okay, a good opportunity to stop, pause. The Gemara is going to go back to the halachas of Erevin. So we're going to pause over here, and we're going to just quickly review the daf today. One topic of today's daf, and that's more halacha b'fnei rabo. The Gemara speaks about the significance of paskening the halacha in front of your Rebbe. The Gemara says that that is a grave mistake, even for issues which are obvious. Rashi's example, somebody asked the question of eating egg and milk together. Ostensibly, that's a really straightforward question. It doesn't require a lot of thought. But if you're standing in front of your Rebbe, so your answer should be, I defer. I defer that question over to my Rebbe. Allow my Rebbe to ask. We saw that according to Rashi, and really, truth of the matter is, I say it's Rashi. The Gemara was very clear about it as well. The issue is that it's chutzpah. In other words, passing the halacha in front of your Rebbe is just simply, it's not respectful. And it's a lack of kavod harav. And also, we shared together this in the staff, a quick Tosfos says that the only becomes an issue if they're asked clearly for a psak halacha. If you're asking about thoughts about a particular topic, so then, even in front of Rebbe, you can give your thoughts away, but in terms of psak halacha, that's the prohibition. What we discussed in the course of the daf is, number one, what if you are not directly within the vicinity of your Rebbe? Would that be okay? The Gemara has cited cases of Rav Chista and Rav Huna, where Rav Chista was a talmid to Rav Huna, but when he was not within the vicinity, he did paskin. Similarly, we had the same situation with Rav Hamanuna and Rav Chista. Rav Hamanuna was a student of Rav Chista, and also when he was not in the vicinity of his Rebbe, when he was in a different town, he paskin. The Gemara moved on to discuss the halacha of the sakin of shechita, the requirement to give it to the Talmid Chacham of your community, and the Gemara discussed this also as part of the discussion of being Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabo. We learned about the Heter of Rava, that if a Talmid Chacham is planning on shechting for himself, he does not have to bring the knife over to the Mar D'Asra. The Gemara goes over a number of the serious consequences of what happens when a person is in fact going to be Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabo. First of all, the Gemara tells a story with Rav Acher Bar Yaakov, who was a Mar D'Asra. They didn't show him the knife. And even though they were, the shechting was for themselves, but the Gemara noted that this may be an exception because either number one, they were on their way to showing Rav Acher Bar Yaakov the knife, and so once they started going, they should have showed it to him. And number two is that Rav Acher Bar Yaakov was a Talmid Chacham Muflag; he was an extraordinary Talmid Chacham, and under those circumstances, they should have showed him the knife. The Gemara talks about. Not even though you're not allowed to paskin halacha in front of your Rebbe, but if it's to stop somebody from doing an iser, so that you are allowed to, and in fact encouraged to do even in the presence of your Rebbe, the Gemara gave an example of such. Rava talks about the consequences of paskin halacha in front of your Rebbe, and notably the most serious punishment of misa b'dei shemaim when you paskin the halacha in front of your Rebbe. If you do so not in front of your Rebbe, it's still going to be a serious crime, but it does not have it with it the punishment of Misa B'dei Shemayim. The Gemara challenged that based on the Braisa, but the Gemara ends up concluding that the way Rava said it is in fact correct. The Gemara talked about other consequences of being Mor Halacha Bifnei Rabo. The Gemara quotes B'Shem Rav Yochanan, you deserve to be bitten by a snake. The Gemara quotes, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, you described as a chote. The Gemara noted that David HaMelech, when he was, as long as his Rebbe Yair was, Ira HaYairi, as long as he was alive, so David HaMelech did not pass on the halacha as long as Rebbe was alive. His Rebbe also happened to have been a Kohen, and the Gemara says that David HaMelech made a mistake in that he gave all of his truma over to Ira HaYairi, and that you shouldn't do that. You should share the wealth. You should spread the wealth of your truma and make sure to give it to multiple kohanim. Another consequence of being Mar Halacha Bifnei Rabo is that if you're in a position of stature, you're going to be lowered from that position. You will be deposed from that position. The Gemara notes that this happened to Elazar Kohen, where he passed an halacha in front of Moshe, and he was in fact deposed. The Gemara notes that also another consequence is that a person will die without having a son if he's more halacha b'fnei rabo. And the Gemara learns this from Yoshua. And then on the Amud Beis, as long as we quoted the incident with Yoshua, so the Gemara noted that there were other possibilities in terms of why exactly Yoshua was punished. The Gemara talked about Bitul Peruavu, that he prevented the Jewish people from engaging in marital relations for one night. That's one possibility. And the Gemara also talked, went over the episode of Yoshua as he was speaking to the Malach, and the Malach chastised him for not bringing the Talmud Shel Bein Arba'im and not for studying for Torah. And the Gemara says of the two, the not studying of the Torah was a more egregious act. Okay, Adkam.